You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we've got a busy day of action. It's day three, of course, from the Punchestown Festival. And we've also got plenty of action on the domestic front. And you'll hear it all live, of course, on William Hill Radio with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Sean Quinn from 125. But in the meantime, Sam Norris here on the podcast, and joining me to take a look at some of the best action on Thursday is John Budden. How are you today, John? Are you good?
I am very good form indeed, Sam. Looking forward to some tremendous racing at Punchestown right up to the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really, really good festival, a good way to sign off for the jump season. And we had a fantastic first day yesterday, of course. William Mullins, the master trainer, perhaps no surprise to see him scoop all three grade ones, John.
Yes, Duvain was tremendously impressive. You know, it's amazing to think that going back to the Cheltenham Festival, that Duvain started at basically 2-1, I think, for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. And people thought, will this horse actually win the race?
Yeah.
Well, he won it very well indeed. And the form of that contest, of course, is, as usual, working out very well. But I thought he was a monster yesterday at Punchestown. And, Ruby just sitting there, and when eventually he released just a small bit of rain. Whoosh! Away went Duvain. And tremendously impressive horse. Really big animal. William Mullins has so many Gold Cup potential possibilities. But, I mean, Duvain looks to me, if he remains, you know, fit and on top of his game, to be a tremendous prospect.
Oh, it's going to be an absolutely incredible Gold Cup, no doubt about that. And also, with William Mullins, some of the other fancied horses that perhaps disappointed a bit, we had Don Poley, obviously, and Champagne Fever. He's still got plenty of other horses to come and pick up the pieces when his first string do disappoint.
Yes, I thought Champagne Fever would lose.
Oh, really?
Yes, I thought he was very disappointing at Aintree myself, Sam. He didn't seem to run with any sparkle, not the old sparkle, and I didn't expect him to win on the first day at Punchestown, and he didn't. But I did expect Don Poley to win the champion novice.
You and me both, Sean. Yeah, I think.
And so did Andy.
Yes, that's right.
You make it perfectly clear. Andy knows his Irish racing absolutely like the back of his hand. And I've rarely heard him being so positive about a horse. He admittedly said, of course, it's ridiculous to back because he's going to start at sort of 2-1 or even 3-1 on. But he was really, he had been very positive at Cheltenham. But before the Champion Novices Chase at Punchestown on the first day, you know, he exuded confidence. Mm. This horse must be followed, etc., etc. Well, something went badly wrong, didn't it?
Yeah, it certainly did.
Funnily enough, Andy had said earlier in the that he thought Valser Lido would go extremely well at Cheltenham, and that he reckoned he could be the best of the William Mullins novices at the time. Mm. But he changed his mind to a certain extent and was very keen on Don Poley. Well, what is interesting, Sam, is that in the Racing Post on Wednesday, Michael O'Leary said the Don Poley bubble has been burst. Mm. William Mullins, on the other hand, was not nearly so negative. There didn't appear to be anything wrong with the horse. He just didn't travel, didn't pick up, made one or two mistakes. But William Mullins was pointing out trip. He reckoned that Don Poley needs every yard of 3 miles, and that a Gold Cup course would suit the horse very well. So, you know, perhaps it was just a blip.
Yeah, I hope it will be. I spoke to Andy this morning, and he was fairly disappointed. But it's good to see Valsalido bounce back, because he was starting to go off the rails a little bit before that.
He was, wasn't he? He was indeed. But it's a fascinating racing, and there's still plenty more to come. Just one other thing on the first day, not to do with puncher style. I was delighted that Richie McGrath was cleared of corruption. Yes. I mean, you know, he's such a nice man. He's been such a good jockey. I thought to myself, someone's been out to get Richie. And when that line of 57 possible allegations concerning corruption appeared, I thought, well, you know, he's doomed. He's not going to get away with it at all. And I think the BHA Security Department are not at all pleased with the disciplinary panel for coming to the conclusion that they have done. But for me, great news, and great news for Richie McGrath. It means he'll be able to carry on in the industry in whatever role he is going to take part. Probably, you know, assistant trainer, I imagine, but I doubt whether he'll come back to ride again because he's pushing 40, but only in the end to be charged or found guilty of a minor sort of school in public offence was a tremendous relief. It must have been a burden on his shoulders for, you know, something like 3 months. And one did feel that, you know, he wasn't going to get away with it somehow. But it wasn't a matter of not getting away with it. He was found not guilty. And that, to me, is great news.
Yeah, absolutely. Good good news of Richie there. And, as you mentioned, fantastic first day at Punchestown. We'll have a look at a couple of Punchestown races a bit later on. We're going to start with some of the domestic stuff for our four races. We'll start with this 2:45 at Sedgefield, John. This is a handicap chase. It's ran over 2.5 miles, a class four, with seven of them lining up to contest this. Anyone standing out here?
Well, it's an interesting little race. There is one standing out, but I'll just leave that in a moment for listeners to consider what it's going to be. But of the seven, we've got Tahiti Pearl, for example. Sue Smith's Warrior has been a little bit out of form recently and hasn't won for a while, but hasn't been running that badly. It was fourth at Carlisle behind Barely Legal and fourth at Haydock behind Carrick Dune. So he's been knocking at the door a bit, and he loves Sedgefield, and who knows, he could come back to just a little bit of form. And the favourite will almost certainly be Mick Easterby's horse. The Easterby team in pretty good shape, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, they are.
Both Tim and Mick, who had a first 1-2 at Newcastle on Tuesday evening, his horse is in very good form. Class in a Glass will be the likely favourite in this race. Perfectly sound winner at Catterick last time out, but the horse he beat was Pistol Basque. And Pistol Basque is not very good, really. A point-to-point winner, but disappointing at Weatherby before. I think he's vulnerable. So that leaves us to the two that I think will fight out the finish. And I've got to go with Abricot d'Oasis. Yeah. This is Donald McCain and Henry Brooke. I was very impressed with the way this horse ran at Carlisle last time out. He didn't beat a great field, but he jumped for fun. He hardly made a single mistake, Sam, and made every yard of the running. And I think if he does that again at Sedgefield, it's going to be mighty hard to beat. The team are definitely coming back into form. Possible opposition is the last horse I might mention, Solway Donal, who represents Lisa Harrison, Cumbrian trainer, in pretty good nick at the moment. Had a winner at Perth at the Spring Festival. And Solway Donal, very tough individual, has got wins at Sedgefield to his name, pulled up in an amateur rider's hurdle last time out, but was a good second behind Barely Legal at Carlisle over fences before that. Ryan Day back on board this afternoon, good £7 conditional jockey. I think Solway Donal is the danger to Abricot d'Oasis.
Okay, then, John, going for the McCain horse there, number two on the card in at 2:45 at Sedgefield. We'll go over to Redcar then for the next on our podcast. This one comes up at 4:30. It's over 6 furlongs, a class six event with seven of them down to contest it. A couple of last time out winners here as well, John.
I couldn't resist this race. Yeah. I love Redcar sellers and claimers. And I did have
someone's got to love them.
Yes, it is. And I did have a small triumph, actually, in the last seller at Redcar, because the whole of the world thought Brian Nillison's Mon Brave was going to win. And I was determined that that was not the case. I pointed out that Mon Brave basically was a 7 furlong horse and that he hadn't run very well at Catterick over that trip the previous time. But the money piled on. I forget who was in the studio with me at the time, but whoever it was also went for Monbrav. I said, no, Hargeys will win this. There were cries of sort of gasps of astonishment, you know, Hargeys running for the first time, getting far too long in the tooth, you know, not quick enough. Paul Midgley hasn't had a winner yet. Well, in fact, a small triumph. Hargeys made every single yard of the running and never looked like being beaten. And I think he'll improve, to be honest. Graham Lee is still in the saddle, and Paul Midgley trains. Loves Redcar, this horse. My only slight worry is that the trip is 6 furlongs this afternoon instead of 5. And I think he'll try and set out to make all the running, and hopefully will manage to do so. Possible dangers under approval from the Tutty stable. Karen Tutty trains daughter Gemma, quite a decent jockey herself, under approval, has run well on the Fibre Sand at Southwell, once a winner over 6, and also placed behind Mebo. Could go well. New Leaf has done a little bit of form over the winter on the all-weather surface. If there's a danger to Hargeys, I think it is Tracy Waggett's horse, Whispered Times, who actually ran pretty decently on turf at Thirsk last time out, third to Birdman over 7 furlongs. So there'll be no problem about Whispered Times getting the trip. But I'm hoping Hargeys will make every yard of the running and scorch home.
OK, then Hargeys, for John to follow up on his recent red car success. We'll move on then to a couple of the races from Punchestown. We'll start with the 450. This one is over 4 miles. There's 14 of them lining up to contest this in a slightly different race to the one we've just previewed, John.
Yeah, it is indeed. This is a great race. The La Touche Trophy, of course, over the banks and all kinds of other hedges and ditches around Punchestown. A very famous cross-country race. And I think Nina Carberry deserves to win this on Quantitative Easing in De Bulger's horse. I backed Quantitative Easing at the Cheltenham Festival in the cross-country there. And the ex-Nicky Henderson horse was desperately unlucky.
Yeah.
I backed the horse because I thought he'd run with great promise at Punchestown before, finishing a close-ish fourth, and it occurred to me that Cheltenham would suit, and he was going, I thought, very well, Quantitative Easing, making steady progress, and then that French horse simply hurled him through the rails as he turned to come onto the course, just beginning to come with a really serious challenge. I never seen Nina Carberry so angry. I thought she was going to leap at the wretched French jockey and hurl him to the ground. Fortunately, that was avoided. It was a good winner in the contest, Rivage d'Or, who is, of course, in this La Touche Trophy this afternoon. Rivage d'Or, I thought, was given an excellent ride by James Reevely at Cheltenham. He's a fine horseman. Brian Cooper in the saddle at Punchestown, and many people will think that the result will be confirmed. But 12 stone 3 is what Rivage d'Or's got to carry. 11 stone 7, quite a tidy receipt of weight for Quantitative Easing. Good horse with Nicky Henderson. Unlucky not to won more. Still young enough to do the job. So I'm hoping Quantitative Easing will come good for Nina Carberry and that 450.
Okay, then Quantitative Easing getting the selection for John, for Edna Bolger and Nina Carberry. We'll move on then to the 530 from Punchestown. This one is that Grade 1 hurdle over 3 miles. There's 12 of them lining up to contest it, and we've got the likes of Hurricane Fly and Jeski, who we've seen clash so many times over the years, and of course throw Dedigout into the mix. We could have a really interesting race here, John.
I think this is a fascinating contest. To me, it's the best race of Punchestown on the Thursday, and it really is a tremendously tingling contest, as you say, another match between Jeski and Hurricane Fly, but over 3 miles. Now, will Hurricane Fly be as good? I have a big question about that. I thought Jeski, if it was going to be head-to-head, I would be on Jeski, because Jeski's always looked as though he was going to be a stayer of real calibre, doing most of his work from coming off the pace, a spring horse too. If it was a match between the two, I would definitely be a Jeski supporter, but it's not, Sam, a match. I mean, it's over 3 miles, and Dedigout is a really very, very sound, top grade 3 mile staying hurdler, and Tony Martin's horse is in tremendous form at the moment, three times a winner, including last time out at Fairy House, and beat 1,000 Stars, grand old horse, in second place. Will 1,000 Stars reverse the form? I don't see why he should. Tony Martin's team in pretty good shape. We've got Brian Cooper against Paul Townend. Really decent jockeys. I think the trip will find out Hurricane Fly. It might find out Jeske. In the same sort of ownership, Jet Sun is a bit disappointing. So to me, when it comes to the real crunch, it's going to be De Digout and the 1,000 Stars. And I'm with De Digout to win.
Okay, then De Digout then to win that big hurdle race then at 5:30 at Punchestown, the feature of the day on day three. If you could just remind us, please, then, John, of your selections for the four races and why, please.
Well, we're going to have Sedgwick for the first in chronological order, 2:45, Donald McCain's Abricot de l'Oasis. Then in the 4:30 at Redcar, the Clamer Hodges to make every blade of the running. In the 4:50, La Touche, we want Quantitative Easing to win for Nina Carberry. And in the World Series hurdle at 5:30, De Digout is the choice.
Okay, there we are then, these selections ahead of Thursday's racing from John Budden, and you'll hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio in the company of Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Sean Quinn, so do join us for that. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast this morning, John, and I hope you look forward to the action on Thursday.
Great fun it'll be, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.